Play another one, a special number. Anybody know the name Rudy Atwood?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we oldies. I'm 73, but some of you are older than that. But you'll remember Rudy Atwood from the old-fashioned revival hour. Charles Fuller, wasn't it? Back in those days, in the 50s and 60s. But his pianist, Rudy Atwood, is the style that I have adopted and what I'd like to play right now is one that I actually copied off of Rudy Atwood, hearing it and then being able to copy it. But you know the song, Stand Up for Jesus? It's probably in the hymn book. But ye, you soldiers of the cross, stand up for him. I'm talking to myself as well. I chicken out plenty when witnessing opportunities come up. But that's what I would like to think about this evening, and then we'll get from there into the presentation. So, stand up for Jesus. Is it in the hymn book? What number?
618.
Huh, what number?
618.
618. You can look at the words if you'd like. It's an arrangement. The words have two different melodies, and you're going to hear both of them mixed together, done in Rudy Atwood style. So. Thank you. Anybody heard that arrangement before? I figured you probably would have, because he had it recorded and everything else. So, just a little bit of self-introduction. I've been here to Northwest before, and I don't know how many years ago it was. Quite a while, I think. And so the report that we'll give tonight is, well, let's put it this way. I made it up 3 years ago, or three to three and a half years ago. Almost all of it is still very current, and that's why I haven't had time to put together a new PowerPoint or anything. But I should just, in way of introduction, I was commended in 1968 with my first wife, Lois, from the Minneapolis area and Winnipeg, Canada area assemblies to go to Japan. And Lois and I went. We were at first in the Tokyo area, a place called Ikuta. But then in 1989, Lois passed away with cancer. I was introduced to Mary, in Japan. We met there. We were married in Jackson. That's right. We were married in Jackson, but we've been serving the Lord since 1990 together for 3 or 4 years in the Tokyo area. And then 22 years ago, we moved from... All right, here we go. This is Japan. This is Mary's illustration, but it's perfect. Tokyo's right here at the bend of your arm, and which is where we were for 24 years. And then 22 years ago, we moved here in the mountains. Nagano area where the Winter Olympics were 16, 18 years ago. And that's where we've been starting again in a pioneer evangelism situation, trying to get a church and assembly started from nothing. And so that's where we have been for the last 22 years. And most of what you'll see tonight is a report on that, as well as on some Japanese culture. And so you can understand some of the difficulties of working in that very nice country. And I mean that. You women, you go to Japan, you're safe, like you're never safe here in the States, for example. But extremely resistant for a number of reasons to the gospel, and you'll see some of that tonight. And so that's one thing that's what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. But if I may, I'd like to first of all take a few minutes and just talk about from the scriptures, not terribly long, but I have some points. One thing, having been there, and of course Jay and Ruth are here. You're here normally on Sundays, are you not, Jay and Ruth? Yeah. But, of course, Jay went to Japan 3 weeks before I got there in 68. He was there with international teams, right? Yeah, in those days, and then I got there. Jay was there short term. What, you were there 4 years about? You were there 2 years, okay. We came long term, but we got to know them, of course. And then later on, Jay came back, married Ruth, and came back in 73? 72. Okay. In any case, you can get a lot of the details next week and whenever from Jay and Ruth regarding what's involved. But when you come back to the States, a lot of things hit you. For one thing, I mean, not just driving on the other side of the road from what we're used to there, but as part of it, getting confused as the roads I knew as a young man or 5 or 10 years ago, but now they've added a new curbing. You can't get in there. You know, there are frustrations. Jay's probably, and Ruth have had their own, so you can ask them about that. But one thing that strikes me, and it's the same thing here in Japan, is that there's an awful lot of faddism. And what I mean by that is following the latest fad, and you gotta be up to date on things or you're out of it, kind of, or something like that. And I've had some experiences in that way, and some things, for example, I forget what the brother's name was that helped me hook up here, but he knows very well I'm a klutz at the computer. This thing was having trouble turning on tonight, but I still don't know a whole lot. One reason for that is that back in 1992, we were 91, 92, we were back in the States for a furlough, and Mary and I had an apartment in Minneapolis, and then one of our boys was rooming with another guy from the same assembly and so on. This other fellow, this is just when personal computers were starting. You know, desktop, company computers, yes, but then it was just starting to get into the personal computer business. And our son Steve's roommate was just a fanatic for a a computer. It was a new thing, you know, young people are really getting into it. And he would spend, I don't know, 12, 14 hours a day just glued to his screen. And Steve was not impressed with that. He was just a prisoner of the thing. He had to be in on everything that was going on in that computer. Well, that didn't leave a good impression on me either. I mean, nice guy, no problem there, but what's he into? The latest fad? And that turned me off of it, so that until 2000, we never had a personal computer. And you think, huh? You dullard, Peter. And I still am a dullard. I don't know the operating systems. I don't know it. But that was one reason, one very impressive reason, that other guy was just so fanatically the other extreme that I went to the other extreme. Computers are very useful, obviously. You know? But if I've got to be into, what is it, iPods or iPads or you know, whatever the latest thing is, again, that's a world I don't know very well. You know, too late now. But what is the number one thing that I'm really putting my attention to? And I'm not knocking computers. I'm knocking this. I gotta be at the very latest. Follow the latest. Might be a fashion. It might be a sport. It might be any number of things that we might be having. But another thing that impressed me at that point, I'm giving the stories first and you'll get to the scriptures later. Another thing that impressed me was as a high school, a junior in high school, I mean, way back, 1950s, but I had a teacher, my 11th grade English teacher in high school was a non-Christian, very clearly so. He didn't, I mean, it wasn't evident in those days, but I can never forget Mr. Hubert Anderson talking about conformity and ridiculing anybody who is a brainless conformist. Now, he was making fun of the Lutheran churches, I'm quite sure, as a non-Christian, and of the idea, well, you know, a lot of Lutheran churches in the Minneapolis area, okay? And real close to school and so on. Or any of the churches where, you know, a kid is born, they go and they have confirmation at 12 years old, and so on and so forth. And they just go along with the crowd. And he was saying, don't you be a conformist. That's a brainless person. Now that was what he was getting into. But I have never forgotten that lesson. And I thank God to this day for it. The point is, who do I direct my attention to? Who do I ask for direction to what I ought to be concentrating on today or this year or whenever it happens to be or in my life? And it can go to extremes, obviously. This is kind of where this old guy is coming from. And I'd like you to look at two or three passages of scripture that deal with this issue where I believe the Lord is saying the same thing. Use your computers, folks, by the way. Don't get weird in your styles, for example, or whatever. But let's not be locked into the patterns of this world around us. Romans chapter 12. I'm sure you know the passage and many of you could quote it. I'm reading from the New American Standard. I urge you, therefore, brethren, and there's a tremendous background to that. We're not getting into that. But I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. To whom? Of course. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And then the next verse. And it says, do not be conformed, but I checked out the Greek word there, and it really means never be conformed to this world. That's the real implication. It's rather strong. never be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. What does God want? Computers, styles, whatever it happens to be. This is election year. Whatever it happens to be. By the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I think we get the point. 1 John, the Lord Jesus' disciple, he gets on to some of the same thing. 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Use the world, understand the world, no problem, I would guess. But don't love the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away. And also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. There are other passages, and I'm guessing that well, I've made my point. I hope the Holy Spirit has made his point. That we're saying, Lord, what is your will? That which is good and perfect and acceptable to God himself. So that's my thought from Scripture tonight. It applies to every one of us, young and old. We'd like to go on to talk about Japan. A lot of this stuff Jay and Ruth will know about, of course, Japanese things. And, of course, they've been to our house, so they'll know many of the pictures. But I will read the text and then, you know, flip the pictures as we go. So would it be good to turn the overhead lights off? Wouldn't it make much difference? I don't know. Okay. Okay, one more trick. How do you expand that thing up to full screen?
You start the presentation and go full screen.
You sure?
It should.
Boy, I wish it would. Oh, wait a
minute. Slideshow, go to the slideshow and say start. Right.
Slide, it's on that. It's on slides. Well, I'm sorry. I'm a clod at it. Hey, that's a little better.
Okay, now let's see. I can go.
By the way, the icons and everything are all Japanese here, so he can't read it.
So what am I doing?
Just want to get it to the whole.
F5.
Part.
F5.
There we go.
There you go. Thank you. You see. Okay, March 11, 2011, a date that resonates in Japanese hearts just like 9/11 does in American hearts. The whole world learned what a tsunami was. The devastation was horrific. Everybody marveled at the orderly way the Japanese people responded to the catastrophe. Japan was on everybody's map. Northern Japan has always been, this is where it happened, by the way, has always been resistant to the gospel of Christ. But Christians, both Japanese and from foreign countries, have been at the forefront of relief efforts, and the victims have taken notice. Many have come to Christ, so we hear, in the area that was affected. Wonderful help. However, 12 hours after the monster earthquake and tsunami and nuclear power plant explosion on the northern Pacific side of Japan, Sakai Village, about 30 minutes downriver from us, where we used to live until 2 months ago, and where our son Bob now lives, had its own huge earthquake. No lives were lost, but many, many families had to live for a long time in these temporary housing units until their homes are rebuilt to meet legal safety standards. Please notice the seven little child gods. They were all facing the same way as the one on the left until the earthquake hit. Then, according to the locals, the other six gods turned to face the right, which is the direction of Sakai Village, to protect the distressed people of Sakai. It looks suspiciously like the work of some local person who wasn't quite strong enough to turn the big one on the left. But that's thinking. Besides earthquakes, what kind of place is Iyama City and Sakai Village? That's where we lived, and Sakai Village is where our son Bob lives. We're surrounded by fairly high mountains, and our Nagano province air is famous in Japan. So is the quality of the rice and other vegetables and fruits grown here. These are grapes, by the way. Mainly because of the fresh mountain water. A few years ago, a movie producer, wanting a rural setting where the four seasons could be clearly and dramatically portrayed, chose Iyama for his shooting location. Spring bursts into life and color with pink cherry blossoms, yellow daffodils, and canola blossoms, and skunk cabbage. There's our dog, by the way. Skunk cabbage, beautiful stuff. Summer is oh so green, from the surrounding mountains to the velvety green rice fields. In autumn, the green rice turns golden. Beat it, crows. Red apples hang from the trees, and fall colors, bronze, red, and yellow fall colors creep down the mountains as trees don their autumn foliage. Winter becomes a dazzling white wonderland with up to 40 feet of snowfall last winter at our house. Well, that was 4 years ago, but we have to shovel our roof, of course. And this time, some Christian brothers from snow-free country came and helped. Thank you very much. I guess this homeowner didn't want to bother with his roof. Buddhism itself is an important industry in Iyama. The city advertises itself as the city of temples, with about one temple for every 1,000 people, far more than the national average. In the mile or so between our house and our Bible center, this is one of 16 temples along one short road. These temple priests are kept busy doing memorial services for people in their parishes who have died. The services are performed on a regular basis, are performed on regular death anniversaries, the first, the third, the seventh, the 13th, etc., up to 50 years after a person has died. These services provide important income for the priests. The Butsudan, or ancestor shelf, is the center of these memorial services and the center of daily family ancestor worship. This is in the houses, in everybody's house practically. When a person dies, the family chooses a Buddhist name for the afterworld. And this is written on a special plaque, which is then placed into the Butsudan. The more you pay, the better the name, and thus a better afterlife? Sound anything like the sale of indulgences during the Middle Ages? We know many families who daily offer water, fresh rice, incense, and prayers to their ancestors. Production of these butsudans, the family altars, is an important industry in Iyama. In fact, for one long block in town, almost every shop sells them. The ancestor shelves call for truly skilled workmanship, such as wood carving, lacquering, gold foil application, painting, and fine metalwork to produce these beautiful cabinets. While we respect this skilled craftsmanship and the beauty of these cabinets, we know also that the adversary uses them as a trap to keep people from turning to Jesus, the real source of life for eternity. Other kinds of work. Some people find employment in controlled environment mushroom production factories like this. Probably a quarter of the entire Japanese mushroom production comes from factories like this in Iyama alone. Others work in high-tech industries, such as computer parts and computer assembly. Still others commute an hour to the big city of Nagano for their jobs. Another big employer is the recreation industry, with both skiing and snowboarding in the winter, and rafting and canoeing and hiking in the summer, and superb hot springs all year round. Anybody want to try year-round ski jumping? From the top? Scare the life out of you. Recreation requires hotels and inns. Many of our friends are kept busy with their bed and breakfast inns, especially on Sundays, just when we're having church meetings. But with an aging population and not many good jobs locally, no colleges in town, and piles of snow to contend with every winter, the number of young people staying around is dropping. We used to have 4 high schools in town, but one closed, and this one will soon merge with this rebuilt one, which is only 3 minutes from our house. That's the campus is now complete, by the way. In 2014, the bullet train connecting Tokyo and Iyama directly will be completed. The new station is only a 5-minute walk from the Bible Center. That picture is taken from the Bible Center, where our assembly building, where we are standing now. We hear people express both anticipation of new development and uncertainty about unpredictable changes. What's going to happen to our town? Besides being the city of temples, Iyama also says that it is the nice old family hometown. One local artist makes dolls of grannies and grandpas and their grandkids and has set up a museum here on Ancestor Shelf Avenue. And tour groups from all over the country have been flocking to see it. They also stop in to see the Folk Art Museum across the street, which features ancestor shelves and the gilded toilet. How do we reach out to the people? First of all, we live right among them and participate in many of the neighborhood activities, like weeding the flower beds along the National Highway. Until 2011, when Kristen Ismert left, she's the gal on the left there on the back, we always had a 2-year short-term missionary teaching English and Bible classes at the Bible Center and elsewhere. Now there, of course, there's nothing there now. Mary had four very lively children's English classes, two in our home, most of them kids from the neighborhood. I usually taught the Bible story. My dad was in Christian Businessmen's Committee for 50 years, which is where the idea for men's breakfasts came from. Usually, 20 men attend when we can get an outside speaker. This brother, a former high school physics teacher, spoke about God's creation versus atheistic evolution. One man said, "I feel like scales have dropped from my eyes." Wednesday evenings is Bible study and prayer meeting, including non-Christians as here. This was 4 years ago, and that older gentleman is still coming. That's my son Bob, our son Bob on the left there. At that point, we were studying Exodus. Now they're in the book of Mark. What did we get to? The book, we got through the book of Judges, didn't we? Yeah. Judges and then jumped over to the book of Mark now. The annual Nagano area interchurch ladies luncheon is a big attraction. This one attracted 280 ladies to hear how the Lord has sustained this lady whose daughter was abducted to North Korea over 30 years ago. What a testimony. One veteran missionary told me, anybody know the name Warfield Munce? I think he was the one. "Peter, in Japan, there's no net fishing. It's all line fishing. And that means individual and group Bible studies." We also work with children through monthly Let's Play in English, Bible and English clubs. We usually did, I should say, two each month, one in a community center near a small elementary school, and one in Bob's village with students from the schools where he teaches. Every spring, during spring vacation, we send young people to Augusta, Georgia, and St. Louis, Missouri, for an American homestay experience in Christian homes. This was at the final pre-flight orientation one March. A couple of years ago, 16 young people from the host families in St. Louis came to visit Iyama, a reverse homestay. They stayed with the young people who had just been to St. Louis, and we had a great turnout at the Bible Center on Sunday. Mary volunteered for 20 years at a home for mentally handicapped adults. Once a month, the home asked Mary to do her Mary time, which means singing, Bible stories, and very simple English. We are just beginning to see some interest in the gospel among some of the staff, although we never saw any fruitfulness from it. We also have activities and fun times for kids from the nearby children's home. Momo is just perfect for animal therapy. This boy and two of his buddies went canoeing with Peter. The head of the home is a seeker, but he hasn't made a decision yet. How we pray for his salvation. I was the regional director for Japan for the Emmaus Bible Correspondence courses, although three of us shared the responsibility. It's been turned over to them now. It's been taking a lot of my time recently. Working with this nearby pastor to double-check translations has been a great help. Thank you, brother. At that point, we had just finished Guide to Christian Growth. Anybody know the course? You heard of it, probably. And Summary of the Bible. Next comes God's Word is Truth, and that's been published now. But my real burden is to encourage each local church to have an Emmaus pusher to promote the court, you know, like a drug pusher, to promote the courses and to pester believers and seekers into studying God's Word. What changes have taken place in the Iyama Assembly since we last reported to you? Back in the 1990s, we had many Filipino women saved who were married to Japanese men, plus their kids. 7 or 8 years ago, 4 dropped out, but we seem to have stabilized at 6 Filipinas now, and this lady has dropped out too. We're very sad to say. But that's most of the rest of them. With one baptism a year for the last few years, we now have 6 or 7 Japanese sisters. And these gals are sisters. What's the term? Biologically sisters. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. In 2010, the Watanabes, I'll mention them again later, so please remember this picture, believers of 30 years, moved here from Tokyo to open their superb Chinese restaurant. But what a boost people of that age were. And I'll tell you more about them in a minute. In April of 2012, Bob and Io got married. Another boost. Now, 3 Christian couples live in the same Sakai village, so we dream of a home evangelistic Bible study in Bob and Io's home. Pray. In addition to the hoped for home meeting in Bob and Io's Sakai village, we already have one, or I should say now had one, in this home in a town 30 minutes away. And we're hoping for another one when Hisako's new house gets built. Back then, it has never materialized, unfortunately. Other seekers, perhaps 8 or 10, are getting closer to a decision to believe and confess Christ. Lord, make us wise soul winners who can encourage them to make that step across the line. And please help us to train other believers as soul winners. What other changes are coming? I wrote this 3-4 years ago, but they're applicable. Mary and I are now in our 70s. How long did the Lord want us to stay? We've come. Who will take over the work? We certainly need more young couples with a commitment to the assembly and to the Lord. How do we train them? Neither of us is very good at passing off responsibilities. To whom do we hand off the Emmaus Bible correspondence work? Happily, that's been very well resolved. So far, we've talked mostly about Iyama, but Japan as a whole is still one of the nicest but most resistant countries to the gospel of Christ. Even combining all Christian denominations, we're still less than 1% of the population. Ideally, Japanese people can reach Japanese best. And there are Japanese workers willing to cooperate with foreign missionaries who can fit into the Japanese culture. Tim and Christiana Marcy came as long-term missionaries in 2009, and we're corresponding with yet another couple, Brock and Kelly Smith. They are there now in the Nagoya area. The infrastructure is all in place. The assemblies and churches of Japan all say, if the Lord has called you, welcome. Is the Lord calling you? Well, that's the presentation, and maybe I should just say. Sorry? Oh, yeah, at the mic. I'm sorry, yeah. I'm going to hook that. This is a prayer meeting, and we hope that you will remember us, remember the work that Jay and Ruth were involved in. You've probably heard a lot more of that, of course, than you have of Iyama. But the needs are pretty comparable, very slow. Everybody's who's looking at me, who's got his eyes on me, especially for when we're in the countryside, as the cries were and as we were. Yeah, big town in Tokyo, not nearly so much. It's definitely easier there. But the needs that we have in particular, and I'd ask you to remember particularly the two couples that I showed you right towards the end. The Watanabes, he would be what, 63 or 4? Something around that. He's got some heart issues. He's had some other things. With this Chinese restaurant, it's terrific food. And he has come from a non-assembly background and found out, wow, I can do something for the Lord here among us. That has been a real thrill to watch him grow in that. But, of course, there's the health question. There's the problem of working Monday to Saturday every week and, you know, to do elders work and follow up. That's pretty much limited to Sunday, and so on. But nevertheless, active efforts to try to reach out in their area. And they would have, for example, getting a special speaker, somebody who would be very attractive to Japanese people, knowing Japanese culture, and yet at the same time an evangelist. What do they have, about 60 or 70 people there at that one dinner they had last summer, a year ago? The Rakugo guy. In any case, active work there. Thank you, Lord. But Lord, keep him going. And he's 63 or 4. How long is that going to go? Bob and Eel, far younger. Now that Bob is married, tremendous help. And Eel has, they've really started to blossom out too. They are the only two men in the assembly. You're talking about 6 or 7 Filipina gals, 5 or 6 Japanese folks, and what, 3 foreigners, 2 or 3 foreigners. So, I mean, Western foreigners. So, it's still a struggle. And we'd appreciate your prayer for them. A lot of seekers, a lot of people with some interest, and there has been, what did they have, a men's breakfast that 14, 15 men showed up for not long ago. But to come and show up for breakfast doesn't mean you've made a decision for the Lord to obey. And that's what we're wanting to have. And to have that heart transformation that says the Lord is worth living for and dying for. That's what we would love to see. Well, I've gone on for a while. You want to have some prayer time. Would it be appropriate to have any questions from the floor? You might have some, and I might have to have Mary answer or something, but would that be okay for a couple of minutes? If you have any questions, fire away. We can have individual. Yes, sir.
How would you describe the resistance to Christianity? What does it entail? For instance, with atheists in the United States, they say, if there's no God, then I can do what I want. But what is the resistance there to Christianity?
Good question. First of all, they're polite. So they're not nasty like they are here, okay? But that's irrelevant. The resistance, I think, is partly that Christianity came from the West. It's not native Japanese. And being a good Japanese person means fitting in with the crowd, doing what everybody else does, being polite about it, and fitting in, not making waves. And if I become a Christian, that means, in general, they're kind of an atheistic, no God society, but at the other hand, they've got hundreds and thousands of gods. A God for rain and a God for ancestors and a God for this and that, you know, for every different area of life. Who you don't really believe in, but you have customs that you have to follow. And if you don't do them, because thou shalt worship me and me alone, says the Lord, you've got to make a break with that to become a real committed Christian, or certainly one that everybody else will recognize as one. To make that break is scary. You're a conformist to start with. I'm talking in general. Obviously, there's rebels, but so everybody's kind of got his, you know, who's looking at me sort of thing. And that's, I think, probably one of the biggest things that holds them back. You know, back before the Second World War, there was, well, Christians, they hold to one God, but the real God is the emperor and all the local gods. But that was a political deal. And it forced conformity. And it scared them off. But now there's none of that. But that same conformist mentality is very strongly there. I think I would guess that's probably the major thing. And to be convinced there is one almighty God, his name is I Am, Yahweh, Jehovah. And he controls my destiny. And he sets the moral, Ten Commandments and so on, the standards of the universe. That's a big jump. And not only is it a big jump for their heads, but it's for their hearts as well. Good question.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, he had a huge problem with blood clotting in his lungs. That right now, at least for the last, what, Mary, 6-7 years, has been pretty stable. Huh? About 10 years, yeah. Been pretty stable. He was climbing a mountain this last summer, and I mean, he fell and bonked his head, but otherwise, you know, the heart problem is going on real good. So we're so grateful for that. Thank you. And it's been good. I have understood since we left in April that both he and Brother Watanabe have really been pretty actively taking over the leadership and the planning of things in the assembly. That's been a delight to get from emails that come. Yes.
How favorable is the government in Japan towards the gospel?
Neutral. Yeah. If you follow the rules, if you get, how shall I say it? How favorable is the government to the gospel and to the Christians? They're as free there as they would be here.
We're not free anymore.
Well, yeah, I know.
There's a lot of opposition to the gospel
yeah.
in the USA.
There's none of that kind of stuff, that, at least what I've been reading. LGBT, is that it? Movement, the lesbian, gay, and so on. For example, but there's none of that sort of stuff that I know of, particularly in Japan.
Well, they're taking like the Ten Commandments out of the courtyards, and, you know, there's a lot of that type of thing going on in the United States.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we as Christians are feeling it possibly the way we should because we're not out there active in our community. I don't know. It just seems like in the United States, we are now going into a period where there's a rebellion against God.
Yeah. You would not have that because it would not be that mentality there in Japan. But
Christianity isn't strong enough to be the problem.
Yeah, that's another thing. We're just less than 1% of the population. So. Did you want to? You got a couple of letters to read.